And please turn with me to Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 9. These are our subordinate doctrines. These are not on par with Scripture, but they are useful as a teaching tool to summarize what we believe, what the Bible teaches. It summarizes what the Bible teaches about the major doctrines of who God is, who the Father is, the Son, and the Spirit. And so today, we on Lord's Day 9, not going to give you pagination because it may be different. If you have the older version, it's on page 8. Lord's Day 9, question and answer 26. So please respond to the question. What do you believe when you say, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, that the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who of nothing made heaven and earth with all that in them is, who likewise upholds and governs the same by his eternal counsel and providence, is for the sake of Christ, his Son, my God and my Father, in whom I trust as to have no doubt that he will provide me with all things necessary for body and soul, and further, that whatever evil he sends upon me in this troubled life, he will turn to my good, for he is able to do it, being Almighty God, and willing also, being a faithful Father. I'm reading currently through a book by A.W. Pink. He has a book called The Sovereignty of God, which is, so far I'm really enjoying it. And when he opens up his book, he asks this question: what kind of a God do we serve? Is it a God to be worshipped, or is it a God to be pitied? And I think that question summarizes quite a bit of the problem with a lot of Christianity today, in America particularly, that we have dumbed down God so much, dumbed down his sovereign power and his will to make him more like us, that he really is a God that, you know, his hands are wringing. He doesn't know the future. He's just like us, or he doesn't have much of control over anything. He's more of a God to be pitied than he is to be worshipped. But that is not the God of Scripture. And we read from Scripture multiple times that God is, he is in heaven. He does what he pleases in Psalm 115. One of those chapters in the Bible that champions the sovereignty, the greatness and majestic, the majesty of our God can be found in Isaiah 40. I'm not going to read the whole thing, just read certain parts of it. And this is to comfort the people of God by saying this: you, as in Jerusalem, Judah, you people of God, who bring good tidings, lift up your voice with strength and lift it up and be not afraid. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord shall come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, his work before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? Who measured heaven with a span and calculated the dust of the earth in a measure? Weighed the mountain in scales and the hills in a balance? Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord? Or as his counselor has taught him? With whom did he take counsel, and who instructed him and taught him in the path of justice? Who taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding? And look at it. Look how Isaiah addresses God. Oh wait. Behold, the nations are as a drop in a bucket, and are counted as the small dust on the scales. Look, he lifts up the isles as a very little thing. The nations are as a drop in a bucket. Who has told God how to counsel, how to, in all of creation? Who is his counselor? Who tells God what to do? How to govern things? So whatever unfolds in this life, Scripture again and again comforts us with the knowledge, not just that God is in control, but that God has all power, that God has all authority, that we are not to be surprised, we are not to interpret God and the reality, the spiritual reality of what things are like based upon our experiences and upon what's going on before our eyes. So in other words, we don't interpret what God is doing by merely just by looking around with our eyes. We start from how God has revealed himself and then interpret everything in light of how God has revealed himself to us. So we don't stop from the bottom up. We stop from the top down with how God has revealed himself in the light of everything we see unfold before us in history with, you know, agendas that are being pushed. It all must bow before God's sovereign will. But not only does God have all power, not only does God have all control, this God we call our Father is rigging the deck for our good, for his glory. God will not be mocked. His gospel will continue to go forward, and it will never fail. And the kingdom of God will advance, and we who are a part of his kingdom will also triumph because we belong to him. And just as Paul says in in Ephesians chapter 1, that God has predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace. That's why God does everything, to the praise of his glorious grace. So nothing takes God by surprise. And in grace, because of his mercy, we have now been adopted because of Jesus Christ and now are enfolded in the arms of our Father who will care for us and have mercy upon us regardless of what happens. Well, we'll get into more of the providence of God in the next Lord's Day, Lord willing. So let's conclude our summary of Lord's Day 9 with that.